We have a lot to talk about for this SmackDown.
We do. Do we? Well, I guess we do. We have opinions to have for this SmackDown.
The Smacketh of Down, Smacketh for of sure. Downs. We'll get into how the unevenness of promo versus time in wrestling matches is still the consistent thing on SmackDown.
Fair. And this wasn't quite promo fest, but this was getting close. That we'll talk about that when we talk about another promotion. But before we get too far, hey, Mikey, tell them who we are.
Hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there. And welcome to another exciting rendition of the Friday Night Faction Reviews, your weekly WWE SmackDown review team. This week we have an OG crew, because it's just going to be myself and the professor here.
Ooh, going back 18 months ago for this one. Yeah.
It's like back in, it's like 18 months ago for sure.
Yeah, it's a while ago. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Yeah. I'm sure Lucha Don't is fighting with the mini in a closet. And then Luis probably got called into work because Luis works
crazy
ridiculous,
hours.
Crazy 48 hours in a butcher shop. So nothing but respect for those two. Hope you guys are okay.
For reals. But thankfully, we have them signed up for WrestleMania weekend. So you're going to be seeing various iterations of all of us.
Yeah.
More info to come next week all about that.
Whew, it's going to get crazy. Goodness
gracious. It is. Which, this is a good segue to remind everyone that at the time of this recording, which is on a Sunday that we're recording, we are 13 days away from WrestleMania.
My goodness. My goodness. 13 days till WrestleMania and then like 18 other things for the month of April.
So, not to go on too long of a tangent, but wrestling tends to always get busy around April.
Sure.
And this year is no exception. We have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, an NXT pay-per-view, two nights of WrestleMania, and that's just in WrestleMania weekend.
Woof.
And then 2 weeks later, TNA has their next Big Four pay-per-view. And then AEW is debuting their new pay-per-view, Dynasty, and TNA's pay-per-view, Rebellion, is going back-to-back. Rebellion's on Saturday the 20th, Dynasty is Sunday the 21st.
That's just going to be, I'll keep up as best I can, but, you know, you and I have teacher life, so it's just, so much stuff here.
Don't worry, the TNA boys will get the TNA review locked down, so me, Will, and Andrew got that covered. And then Dynasty is the AEW crew. So whoever wants to join in with that, that's fun.
I'm invested in a few of those matches. I got to go. We were talking before we started about SmackDown and Raw comparisons, where it seems like Raw is sort of the action-packed 3-hour event. And SmackDown has sort of turned into the soap opera Days of Our Lives, Telemundo Especial, like version of the whole thing, right? And we talked about that last week. I couldn't really get that out of my head. And then this kind of became an example of so many soap opera twists and turns and things. And I'm not against it. Soap opera folks get a lot of work. And the acting on SmackDown, for the most part, has gotten better. There's still some parts that are rushed, and you can see the folks that are struggling and whatever else. But this was kind of a soap opera episode. It wasn't without its laughs. There were some funny moments and things in here. I just don't know if this is what you wanted 13 days out from WrestleMania. I don't know if this has the energy that you want it to have. And we'll talk about that as we nitpick this thing apart, but I would have loved to have heard Luis has taken a few of things. I know Lucha Don't have some opinions on these matches. Maybe we can get him and bring him in for next week too, but I don't know. This didn't feel like, you're a writer, this didn't feel like the rising action towards a climactic something. This still felt like we're in exposition land, which is rough.
I think what felt very off for me personally in this episode, this week's SmackDown, is, and this is just my perspective, I got what I wanted, kind of, because now we're focusing on Bayley, who I feel like has been left in the dark.
Sure.
I mean, she won the Royal Rumble. She's going to be facing Io, and we've been getting the downfall of Damage Control, her getting thrown out of the group. And so this was a very Bayley-centric like storyline this week, because we had focused on her. We focused on another new character in this story, which was Naomi. Now she finds herself in this. We also still got Bianca Belair involved in this. So I think we're setting up for some sort of match. And I'll get to it when we get to a certain video package. I think we're getting a 6-woman tag match at WrestleMania with Damage Control, Bianca, Naomi, and a certain other female wrestler who's going to be making her first appearance on SmackDown next week.
I hope you're right. I've been waiting to see her come back and clean house. And I thought the Rumble was just a taste. I wanted so much more. And it's been a slow open for her return. And I'm kind of waiting for, I don't know.
So that was at the forefront. And then, of course, we're still developing SmackDown side of who's representing SmackDown in that 6-pack tag team ladder match.
Sure.
Which we're getting the finals next week. Thank gosh. So we'll figure out which 2 SmackDown teams are going into that ladder match. We also get, we'll talk about it. We get like WWE loves going back to the trope. It's like, all right, let's get the cops involved, like grainy footage. Like I'm gonna attack you at your house kind of thing.
So I don't want to talk about it now, but I have some questions about that.
I have questions.
For anyone who's dealt with law enforcement in a similar capacity, I have a lot of questions.
Professor used to be in protest. No, I'm just kidding. We are product of, both of us are product of the 90s, so we'll leave that information to the imagination of whoever's watching.
I've seen rollers coming down the street for me and my friends from time to time. I have a very curveball question too for that one as well, but we'll talk about that when we get there.
Go ahead. I was like, Logan wasn't here, so we had to get Kevin Owens and Randy Orton somehow involved.
Sure.
And then, you know, at the end, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. We're having this face-off. I was like, it's kind of just been, it was tacked on for me, and we'll discuss it more when we get to it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. So let's talk about someone almost killing themselves in this opening match.
Talk about almost murder. Yeah.
SmackDown opens up this week. We get a singles match. Rey Mysterio taking on Santos Escobar. This was actually given a pretty decent amount of time, which was made me super happy.
They got a lot of time.
And this was smart to have the luchadors open the show, which is normally how you should do these things. It's like, all right, start of the show. How do we get the crowd hot? Let's throw this in here. And they both killed it. Rey Mysterio almost killed himself.
Killed himself. There were some, I don't even want to say miscues. Santos kind of saved Rey a handful of times there. Rey had a slip on the middle rope. He had a slip on the top rope. It looks like he called his own audible and did like a baseball dive out of the ring instead of going up and over the ropes. He was favoring that knee again at one point, which made everyone nervous. Even the commentary commented on it. Like, hey, by the way, it looks like his knee hurts. It's like, yeah, I noticed that. So there are a few things there that I was a little skittish about. But Santos and Rey work beautifully together. They always have. Rey goes to the top at one spot we were talking about beforehand, and Santos just bear hugs him to keep him alive in the thing. I'm not saying Rey's missing a step. I'm not saying Rey had ring rust. Rey is immortal, will do great. I think it was just one of those fluke. One thing led to another thing led to another thing, and he was just a professional, like kind of one step behind the first half of this match. Sadly, that's where dudes like Rey get hurt, right? Is moving so fast, and then there's one mistake, and then ankle, knee, hip, back, or whatever. So I'm glad that nobody did die. That's what I was waiting for. I was like, please don't be hurt. Please don't be hurt. But a great match. You know, they recovered well in the second half of this. They took it to the outside, which was a lot of fun. Santos did something really awesome. I'm trying to check my notes and the replay. Santos, I can't remember. Santos, you did something great. I can't remember. If you can remember, tell me. But Santos is great. No, this was fun. This was a great way to start. I think the crowd got into it by the end as well. What's interesting is the crowd got into it after the bait and switch at the end, which we'll talk about. Then the crowd was all there because that's what the crowd tends to do.
Yeah. And so let's just fast forward. So honestly, Rey almost had Santos dead to rights. And as Rey was, you know, getting ready to go into the final sequence, a masked person enters the ring and like interrupts Rey's like in the middle of a cutscene, like a video game.
Like, it kind of does.
Rey Mysterio failed the quick time event in this case.
It's absolutely a quick time event.
He failed the QuickTime event because...
XY, no!
That's exactly what happened. Because Dominic Mysterio makes his presence known on SmackDown, which is weird. Wade Barrett, I love you, but I got a bone to pick with you. This is... Wade Barrett was kind of weird tonight. So I have a bone to pick with him. This is the first incident because he's like, oh my gosh, who is that? I'm like, sir. Like, come on now. I was like, don't insult my intelligence.
I mean, yeah, he had a few one-liners tonight, which were a little rough. And what's hard is I like Corey and Wade. I think they're working really well together. They're finding a great rhythm. They're nothing against Michael Cole. Michael Cole been doing this, 35 years or so? And then the last 10 was sort of very hit or miss from what I'm being told. I never really had a huge problem with Michael Cole, but Michael Cole was also like stick to the script and read and listen to the earpiece kind of guy. You can't really riff with Michael Cole all the time, which I'm finding out now is because he laughs too much. He's usually laughing at stuff people say, which once I heard that and saw the Pat McAfee back behind the scenes, like, oh, that makes sense because he's laughing all the time. Sidebar, I like Corey and Wade. I think Wade sometimes isn't sure what to do, whereas Corey, you know, runs a podcast and just can flow and interview with anybody. So, yeah, Wade had a few moments tonight where I was sort of like, what are you talking about, dude?
But
what are you trying to say?
Yeah, Wade, you don't. I was like, I love you, Wade, but come on, let's not insult my intelligence.
Yeah,
well, sure.
I was sort of like, yeah, who is that? Who could it be?
There's only one wrestler who has a mullet like that right now on main roster, and that is Dominic Mysterio.
Mullet. This Gen Z mullet thing, I'm warming up to it now because they rock it beautifully. Maybe it's just because I'm bald now and I'm jealous and I never got one when I was a kid, but they're doing great with their mullets now.
BC WrestlePod is now taking donations to help the professor get a mullet.
Oh, man, you know how much evil power I would have with a mullet? Oh, I would... this is a tangent and it's not going to go anywhere well. Mike, keep going.
That's exactly why I did it.
We're going to talk about a whole other walk of life where I'm a hockey player for the Mighty Ducks. Anyway, keep going.
Go Ducks, go. But this distraction is enough to have Santos be able to pin Ray for the win. So the big takeaway from this is there are two options that I can see happening, because according to the rumored reports and the wrestling news outlets, WWE is looking to at least have 7 matches each night of WrestleMania, which honestly is not that bad, considering most of our pay-per-views outside of the big ones have had 5 or 6. So 7 is not as bad. And then I'm like,
7 over 2 nights with 2 5-hour, 4-hour epics. That's...
So 14 matches over 2 nights, is break it down in the middle. That's totally okay with me.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, I'm wondering if we're going to get Dominic and Ray 2 this year, or if it's going to be a tag team match with Santos and Dominic and Ray. And I could see Ray either teaming up with Dragon Lee or Carlito, or... Though I'm a little hesitant with this one because of what we've been getting on Raw, Rey and Andrade versus Santos and Dominic.
Man, I like me Andrade. Andrade is, I like me Andrade. That'd be cool. I wouldn't have a problem with that. There's a part of me that I feel like Dom needs to make the leap from one faction to another or on his own. And
right,
not quite ready to pull that trigger, and we've been calling for that for
ever.
A while. Even though we love what, you know, Dom and Mommy and all of them are doing for sure, and I don't know. I mean, you can't run that faction into the ground forever. I mean, you can, but I don't know if you want to do that. But what's the story you're telling? Where are you going? Is Dom ready for that push? There's probably no room for Dom to make that push right now, which is kind of why we're in tag team land. It looks like. And I agree with our good friend Andrew, sort of like these artificial tag teams are kind of make the call, make them a real tag team, or don't use them as a bridge to fix plot lines that aren't working. So I could go either way. But yeah, I'd love to see Rey with Andrade. I'd love to see Rey with Dragon Lee for sure. That's Rey was saying that Dragon Lee was the future of luchador in America or in the world. Which I agree with, even though last time we saw Dragon Lee, it was kind of a squash match and
He's been getting bullied by Legato. He's been getting bullied by Legato for the last couple
decimated,
weeks.
Decimated, but I like, so we'll see. I'm interested in that. I just hope they don't blow it. Like, to make it cool. Please make it cool. Like, don't just.
We got 2 weeks. They got 2 weeks to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, they got 13 days to.
They got 13 days to figure it out. So hopefully we'll see what happens with all of that. From here, we get a recap of what happened last week with Bayley versus Dakota Kai and everything that subsequently happened afterwards, which then leads into Bayley and Naomi talking for a little bit. Bayley thanking Naomi for kind of stepping in and helping her. And she's apologizing to Naomi that she got involved in this. She didn't mean to happen with it. Naomi tells Bayley that it's okay. I don't mind. And then cue Bianca Belair, who has some choice words for Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that as we're slowly, what I'm thinking is going to be a Bianca Belair heel turn or be a little more heel-ish.
Yeah.
She wasn't inherently wrong in the thing she says because she says, no. I was like, Bayley, you're apologizing to her, to Naomi for getting Naomi involved in all this. But you did the same thing not even a year ago with me. And so basically she reiterates what she told Naomi last week. Bianca tells Bayley, you made your bed. Now you're going to lie on it. And the consequences, there are consequences to action. And I'm like, she's not wrong.
Yeah. I love how complicated that gets, right? The sort of, hey, Bayley, we've watched you do this for over 12 months with damage control. And now you need help and no one wants to help you. Or when they help you, they get dragged into this mess. I think writing wise, character wise, creatively, you got a lot of places to go doing that. Commentary jumped on that, mentioned that a few times throughout the night as well. I think that's fun. I don't know if we're going to get heel Bianca as soon as we want, the way they're kind of playing this out. I think they're going to make damage control the heel faction for a while and maybe get Tiffany involved in some sort of auxiliary role, the way that's kind of going. I think it's fun. It gives the women something to do. I give me more. I want more of it. But again, we're still in soap opera land. Like, we're still in promos and soap opera stuff. And for some reason, the women just nail that better than the men do. And we'll talk about that as we go.
I think what kind of helps this soap opera too is that compared to the equivalent for the males' big soap opera right now on SmackDown, I feel that the women's, there are layers and develop, different dynamics to it. And I feel like you could tell that this was the plan, whereas Cody versus Roman was originally the plan, and then it was going to be Rock versus Roman. And then because the, you know, fan base was not too keen on that, they're like, oh, wait, okay, let's find a middle ground.
They're trying to play the hot hand, like what gets us the most views and clicks immediately. The Rock blowing up SmackDown and getting, you know, a billion views. And they went, oh, let's go that direction. And then they went that direction. And all of a sudden, within a week, everyone turned off. And went, oh, we need to fix this. Let's pivot that direction. So the whiplash of that is being felt throughout the wrestling community. Whereas I think you're right. The Bayley story arc is much more linear as a narrative. And we can follow it really fast. And we go, oh, okay, bad guy turns good guy, looks for friends, looks has not. So there's sort of a redemption arc kind of baked into what Bayley's doing. But then who knows? Maybe Charlotte Flair shows up and then it all gets confusing and we see her for 10 more months. Who knows?
Yeah, it's. We'll talk about Roman and Cody later. But
we'll talk. Then Roman Cody is. We'll get there when we get there. But I think
we'll get there when we get there.
That's gotten but, so muddy. It's.
Ultimately, Bayley and Bianca get into a screaming match, which then prompts Naomi to kind of take Bianca to the side, which continues into the following thing. And I don't care what Andrew says. I'm going in the order that I want and not what I was presented with.
We can do that. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
So we see Cody signing some stuff, and it's a continuation. Bianca and Naomi are talking as they go down this hallway, and Bianca is like trying to be big sister to Naomi, be like, you don't know what It's like, Naomi, you've been gone. You don't know what it's been like back in the locker room with the women with damage control, like running roughshod all over the place. I'm just trying to look out for you. And then I love that Naomi stood her ground a little bit. She's like, Bianca, I can't change what happened in the past. I wish I could, but yes, I wasn't here. So therefore, if I could, I would fix it. But what happened, happened. However, damage control is still running roughshod and they're picking us off one by one. Now, I am not going to back down from them. I'm going to fight, but I'm not dumb enough to know I can't do this alone. And and then she ended this part before going into, you know, her match. She says, just like you couldn't do it alone, Bianca, and kind of leaving her there to think about it. I'm like, I love this story. I really do, because it's easy to follow, linear.
Yeah.
There's different directions you can head on over. And again, nobody is right and nobody is wrong in this storyline because there's nuance. I feel that the wrestling gods just don't like me.
I don't think they do. I think every time you say something that makes perfect sense, it seems to mess up your feet. Your internet goes down.
Everything just doesn't want to work with you.
Tony Khan sent a lightning bolt to JVL's house. The wrestling gods smite your internet when you say something smart.
Oh my goodness. But I'm not going to revisit it for fear that the wrestling gods are going to take it out again.
I'll revisit it. We like women's wrestling. We like where this is going. Give me more. We can stick to that.
Yes. So this leads into, you know, as Naomi leaves Bianca to kind of think about it a little bit, we get our first qualifier match for the six-pack ladder match.
Hey.
So A-Town Down got a remix, apparently, in this theme song. So Austin Theory and Grayson Waller taking on the OC.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is the commercial break did not help this match.
Man.
The commercial breaks this episode also was like, what is happening?
That's kind of been a SmackDown curse for a while, is sort of putting commercial breaks into the match in a sort of a... And I get it, that was an 80s thing. That happened when I watched matches too, but at least there would be like the end of or the beginning of, not in the middle of, like, that's driving me nuts. This was a fun tag match. There was some cells here. Minchin toss Grayson Waller to the outside on that random arm drag to the barricade, which was really cool. I kind of like seeing OC clean house. They weren't really being used in SmackDown very well, which we talked about before we started. They've been down on NXT tearing it up, which is great. I was trying to talk and I can't remember the last time they were on SmackDown just doing well. I want to say they were a part of maybe one of those four tag monster things with, I think, the Vikings and a few other things way back. That's the last time I remember seeing them. This was great. This was actually a lot of fun. Not that I was expecting it not to be, but I enjoyed this match more than I anticipated. You didn't like it? You're angry at it?
No. Well,
can hate it.
I didn't hate the match. It's just that on the one hand, I totally agree with you in the sense that I like seeing, you know, the OC do very well because we haven't seen them do very well on SmackDown post AJ going off on his own and leaving Michin and the OC to be this unfulfilled faction.
By the way,
that arm drag she did on Grayson was beautiful.
Beautiful. Like, and dude's running too, like, bam. I could see, I think I know where you're going. The flip side of the coin is, you have them eat the pin like this. What are you doing with them?
Yeah, so that's the one hand. They're wrestling on SmackDown.
At least they're on SmackDown. You were saying that they're doing great down on NXT, I guess.
That's the other thing, too, is that I've been seeing them more than you because they've been in NXT, but we're running into the problem where we're bringing over a main roster tag team into possibly facing for the NXT tag team championships, but they are not NXT talent.
Sure. Yeah.
So they're in this triple threat, and we talked about it on the NXT review this week. They were gassed, like, really? 2 minutes into this match. And I don't know if it was because they were going up against some of the younger stars, but like they were gassed and it was not a good match.
Really?
But they're in the they made their way to the finals. So those two are going up against our other two tag teams who have qualified for the triple threat, LWO and Nathan Frazier and Axiom. And winner of that goes to face Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin for the tag titles at Stand and Deliver, which is like, I want to see Nathan and Axiom or LWO win, but I get the sneaky suspicion that OC might be going on, but who knows at this point? I'm like, there's so many NXT tag teams. Why'd you have to bring? Okay, sure, I guess.
I agree. And again, they're kind of writing themselves into a corner with the tag folks, which in this SmackDown WrestleMania tag qualifier thing is getting a little messy too. We'll talk about that as we get to the next match later on. But can we get to the best entrance of the night? Can we talk about that?
So we'll get there in a sec because
but I want to talk about it. It's so good.
It's only going to take a couple of seconds, I promise, okay. Because then we get this quick video segment of Bron Breakker breaking down his physical stats.
Okay.
I was like, what? I'm like, look, I've always wondered, man. But like, I don't know. This is I was like, what? I was like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. But I'm like, huh?
This is, if anyone watches ESPN or this time the combine for NFL or anything like that, it's just hard not, it's hard to, for me to watch this and not be like, look at all these amazing things he can do. And every team passed on him and now he's a professional wrestler. Like, it's really hard for me. And I'm not saying that's a lesser sport or anything else. It's just part of me is like, look at all these things. Okay, that's great. You're okay. Does any of that translate to he can run the ropes at 23 miles an hour? That's great. That's also kind of dangerous. Please don't hurt yourself. So it's, I want to take it seriously. Maybe I'm just not the demographic to take it seriously. A part of me kind of chuckles at it because it's like, look at all these, and that's anyone that brags about athletic things to me sometimes where I'm just like, oh yeah, I can run this fast. That's great. I hope you get to use that shortly, you know? But I'm not taking anything away from him. He's still super talented, and I loved watching him a few weeks back when he jumped in last minute. I'm really intrigued to see what he does. I've enjoyed the matches I've seen of him, the NXT things and stuff that you guys have sent me. So I'm really intrigued. But I think now he's kind of suffering the same thing Jade's suffering, where it's like, you got him signed, you got him on the roster, pull the trigger, put him in there, do something. And I know it's crowded and everyone's kind of fighting for a spot, but these little teaser things, after a while, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. Cool. Show me something.
Ugh. Right. I mean, for the main roster folks, they're like, okay, we want to start seeing something. And then we have the NXT folks who's like, haha, sucks for you. You got to wait a little longer.
Right. And it's like, oh, hey, awesome. It's going to be a few months. It's like, but come on.
Well, I mean, that's Bron Breakker. And then supposedly, if we're calling Carmelo Hayes up after Stand and Deliver too, like, that's the other thing. It's a whole thing. Main roster needs to figure out, like, either... Obviously, what they want to do is at least they're learning because they're not calling up people and being like, NXT, now you got to figure out what you're going to do like before underneath a certain individual. But even still, it's just like, you can't bring people up and then not have them be on there. I mean, we've had like two squash matches with Braun, but hopefully after Stand and Deliver, everything will work out the way it's supposed to.
Sure.
So moving on from there, we get a recap really quickly of Roman Reigns on Pat McAfee show. We don't need to dissect that because it was just building up to what we get later in the evening, which now we could talk about probably the best entrance on SmackDown right now.
I watched it like four times. It's so good. I think it's gotten a little bit bigger every time, and this time it's like, oh man, there's friggin' lasers and black light colors, and it's just 10-year-old me is all over that. Like, what is happening?
I love it so much. And I'm happy to see her back in WWE because she has that WWE budget so they can expand upon it. But I loved it when she debuted this kind of theme when she was in TNA, obviously, but on a smaller scale. And sure. then now she's back in WWE. They took that idea. They gave it like a budget and then blew it up like 50,000 times.
They gave it a budget. Yeah.
They gave it a budget and made it grander.
Man. And just the Io Sky and Naomi in the ring wearing tattered multicolor 80s clothes. It's just so cool and fun. And it was a great match. They worked really well together. There were a few spots where I felt they had a little bit of a miscommunication, nothing too crazy, but they called some certain bits, certain spots in the ring. It was fun. I like watching Naomi. Everything I'm seeing has been a blast. The end we can talk about.
Yeah, the ending we could definitely talk about. But even before the match begin, you know, Dakota, Asuka, and Kairi are there. Yeah. And we're like, did Io miss a cue? But before the match even started, Io's backstage beating up Bayley, I was like, you know what? I'm kind of here for that. I was like, Io, I like that because Io understands. She's like, yeah, Bayley kind of might be a threat. So I need her to not be involved in this. So let me go beat her up real quick.
But ring psychology, storytelling wise, Io was right outside the thing, which means Bayley, Dakota Kai, Asuka, Kairi, everyone walked out. Io was by herself. Bayley appeared and nobody stopped anything. So then Io just takes care of Bayley and then just walks to the ring.
It was like a delayed response. You're just like, oh, I see you. It's like, hold up. Let me go beat this bitch. Let me go beat this chick up. I almost cursed, but I stopped myself.
You work with high school kids. That kid that every now and then, like, fine, I'm not going to do nothing. And as they're walking away, they, like, grab the hair from around the corner. Boom!
No, never mind. I lied.
Yes. You know, I work with those kids. It was kind of fun. I thought Naomi was really measured in the first half of this. Kind of, not hesitant, but very like, I'm going to walk to my spot. I'm going to walk to this thing. I don't know what might have brought that on, but she was taking care of herself for sure. But this was great. This was a lot of fun. More Naomi, more hypercolor madness. I'm here for it.
This was a fun match. And I was like, thank goodness Naomi is being utilized already, you know, since coming back. It's great. Fantastic. So now let's talk about what happened afterwards, because Io picks up the victory here. And then Damage Control jumps Naomi. Asuka mists her just for funsies. It's like, you know what? We're beating her up here. Let's blind her as well.
Got her good, too. She was screaming.
So they're beating up Naomi. Bayley's out of commission because she got beat up before the match. But then Bianca's music hits and Bianca comes down and she tries to even the odds. But unfortunately, it's still 4-on-2. So the numbers game catches up with them and Damage Control end this match and segment still standing tall.
Yeah,
I actually really enjoyed this.
I did, too. I thought it was a great storytelling bit. And I have my own questions about of Naomi, like covering Bianca, if you saw that. They go nuts and Naomi's like covering her, like trying to take care of her at the end. Like, no, leave her alone. Leave her alone. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know if we're leading towards a Jade, Bianca, Naomi, Bayley power faction, which could be amazing. It's kind of funny that it's Bayley and marginalized peoples again. So we'll see how that works. If we're going full meta on those things. I don't know if it's going to that direction or not, but I'm intrigued.
Again, yeah, but then again, you kind of had the same thing because you have Dakota Kai and marginalized people.
Yes, no, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, so you're from Britain.
We know Triple H loves a good faction.
Triple H is going to find a faction for everybody. But again, I'm looking way too far ahead and I don't want to look that far ahead, but I think your idea of 4-on-4 madness thing, I think that's starting to pan out and becoming clearer for sure. We don't know exactly who's in there, but they might want to throw Jade in there that way. I think Jade could carry a singles match on her own right now, but they don't really want to pull that trigger yet. So again, the soap opera led to the match, which will lead to soap opera, which will lead to more match. And I think that pattern works.
It does.
When it's soap opera into a match, back to soap opera into soap opera into soap opera. Now you're losing me.
Yes. Like, let's have some development both backstage and in the ring too. I mean, come on. Look, I'm not saying that we could write for 2K games, but 2K probably has some of my favorite storytelling in wrestling because they actually took the time to write out stories,
man,
for this video. I'm not saying you should hire video game writers for your stuff, but
you should absolutely hire them.
I'm like, treat this like an IRL video game. Well, like, get all the characters, like, figure out, you know, gimmicks and whatnot, and build stuff. Look, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but if we could build an imaginary faction that we did a TTRPG series with, like,
just gonna say,
we literally created a 2 pay-per-view cycle story with backstage stuff, in-ring characters. Like, it's not that hard. Now, granted, I don't know how it would translate to a television audience. Oh, but yeah.
Granted, I'm not a billion-dollar company, and I got to pay 100,000 people. And, like, I get it. I don't have employees. It's a job. And we as viewers take that for granted. Fine. But being on this side, we can see the things that aren't developing, and we're going to ask those questions, right? And be like, why not this? Why not that? Where is this? Where is that? And that's why this is why Reddit will live forever, is because we can poke holes in those things.
But I mean, you were mentioning Jade earlier, which leads us into what we got next is another video package. Mm-hmm. This one with Jade Cargill, but I like the fact that, you know, it was her talking about herself in this video package, which I think this was probably my favorite of the two between her and Braun, because Jade was actually the one talking and describing herself. I'm like, the charisma that is just radiating off of a voiceover package with Jade, her talking about herself, I'm like, I'm already sold.
Yeah.
Like, the charisma is just off the charts.
The riz, as they say. Yeah. I'm excited.
I love you, Professor.
And again, I think that she could hold a singles match on her own. It looks like they're going to tailor this to getting her into some sort of tag team something, which I don't hate. I just want it now. Don't care how. I want it now. But we'll see.
And we kind of conclude this week's rendition of the Bayley soap opera, because backstage, Naomi's selling this, and I love it. She's like, my eyes are burning.
What? As screaming.
Naomi and Bianca are trying to, like, clean the mist out of her eyes, and then they have a medical person there who's trying to get towels. And then Tiffany comes and is like, aw, Naomi, this is a good look for you. Pitiful. Toodles, and just leaves. I was like,
that's all it took. Just that tiny hint to Tiffany was like, oh, you're going to die someday. Okay, that's all you had to do.
Tiffany woke up and chose violence that day.
Oh, the Tiffany.
I love Tiffany.
I miss seeing her. I need to see more of that.
I think post-Mania, we're going to start seeing her more, because I feel that right now we're just trying to keep everyone who is more than likely going to end up on a WrestleMania match and on the WrestleMania card kind of giving their stories. Then post-WrestleMania, we'll go back to our regular scheduled programming.
Right.
Because even though we have Backlash in May, the next big pay-per-view for WWE technically isn't until SummerSlam. Unless you want to count Money in the Bank as a big one, which is in July. But still, the next big pay-per-view for WWE isn't until the summer.
I think Money in the Bank's turning into a bigger one. I think it's the last 10 years it's really become... Well, when it's used as a storyline, not just, I'm going to carry the case for a while, but, you know.
Here's hoping that Senior Money in the Bank Damian Priest cashes that in, but check out our Raw review to hear our thoughts on that whole situation.
That'd be great if he just, can you get two? That'd be great. Oh, we talked about this. You can't get two. That'd just be so funny to me that he has two cases.
That'd be hilarious. So we closed this chapter on the Bayley saga, because then for the rest of the show, it's the men kind of taking over the show, which we got some highs and lows. So first, we're backstage with Kevin Owens, who's talking to Nick Aldis, who apparently broke his hand in some capacity. Because I was like, what'd you do? Oh, okay, never mind. But Kevin Owens is talking to Nick Aldis that Logan Paul is talking smack on his podcast. So, like, I want a tag team match. I want to fight people. Like, can you do that? Nick Aldis is like, well, okay, so here's the thing. And then the Yes Boys interrupt. By the way, I love the jacket. Jacket is so.
Which gets commented on briefly, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
So, Pretty Deadly interrupt this whole thing. And they feel that they've been slighted, bamboozled. It's a conspiracy, as they say, as to why they didn't win and why they're not going to WrestleMania. And so Kevin Owens is like, you know what? Perfect. You two show up. I want to fight them. And then Pretty Deadly's like, with who? I was like, you don't have no friends, KO. It's like, I have friends. Even Pretty Deadly and even Nick Aldis turned to him and like, really? It's like, okay, I have acquaintances.
Right.
Kevin Owens is funny. And then they're like, well, what about him? And then everyone turns to see Randy Orton. And I love that Kip just like perfect comedic time. It's like, ah,
just it's perfect because it's a commentary on the fact that how do you not notice the person that's always standing there for the promo? I thought that was hilarious.
So good. And then Randy Orton first is like, yo, bro, I kind of like this jacket. It reminds me of the one my dad wore.
Exactly.
And then from like a scene from Step Brothers, Kevin Owens is like, you like this, Randy Orton's like, yes, like I like to fight too. It's just like, did we just become best friends? Yes, I'll be your tag team partner.
And then Kevin Owens mentions on this, I don't need a partner. Last time I was in this arena, I double punched someone. Didn't he double punch Pretty Deadly?
Yeah, towards the end of the, he like,
and then he does it again.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens and Randy Orton go off, and Nick Aldis is like, he's like, all right, well, the match is set for next week. Also, you two, I wouldn't be standing so close together. And they're like, why? And then Kevin Owens comes back and double punches them. Oof. In the face.
Oh, it's such a beautiful double punch when he throws it too.
And then just adding Kevin Owens screaming like a maniac, Randy, see, I told you I could do it.
I hope that's a thing in Milwaukee for the rest of their career. Like the next 20 years, Kevin Owens comes out of nowhere and just double punches Pretty People Deadly the every time they're in Milwaukee. Just burp, burp.
It's like, Randy, I did it.
Exactly. I kind of love that it's kid brother Kevin and cool older brother Randy. I think that might have some legs. I know Andrew might hate it because Andrew, it's an arbitrary tag team, but it's such a fun arbitrary tag team.
I mean, to be fair, like we all felt the same way because they threw Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker as a tag team and all three of us NXT hosts like loved them as a tag team.
Okay.
How ridiculous Good. And funny they are. Sometimes it can work. It just depends on how it's presented. So right. Obviously we're trying to keep Randy and Kevin busy because they are going to be enemies come WrestleMania in that triple threat for the United States Championship. But I think next week is going to be fun having the Yes Boys take on RK Owens as what until I come up with a cooler tag team name. You know what? I'm gonna ask Andrew to come up with
RK Owens.
There's RK Owens or, yeah, RK Owens is the best I could come up with right now. RK
Owens, finding right. I'm sure Andrew will dad pun the hell out of that and we'll get all
that's
kinds
what I'm
of
saying.
Things
Andrew is our resident like makeshift tag team name generator because he's done it for every single tag team on every single show he reviews.
Andrew will do that with just random wrestlers and just put them together. Like, how do you do that?
There's a reason why we would resort to him as our tag team expert because he's the best at it.
Perfect.
So this was a fun segment. Okay, so now this is the segment where we talked a little bit beforehand, and this is where we had questions.
So many questions.
LA Knight got arrested. So let's set this up really quick. So
we're going to start with that. So LA Knight got arrested.
Well, no, because that's exactly how they presented it. Because after Kevin Owens and Pretty Deadly, like we get like the little graphic, and Corey Graves is like, yeah, so LA Knight got arrested, and we see a still screenshot of LA Knight in cuffs. It's like, we're going to show you what happened when we come back from the commercial break. I was just like, okay, let's see where this goes. And then we come back from commercial, and we start playing what happened. My first thing that I wrote down, because, you know, AJ's doing like a mock interview, my first thing I wrote down is, my God, AJ Styles can squish me with his arm. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you see how jacked he is?
He's very much jacked, exponentially even. Not that I want to accuse him of anything,
but
it's sort of like, wait, what?
His, his arms are swole, the chest is swole.
And you know, they can afford those nutritionists and juicy vitamins and whatever they want to put into their bodies. AJ's house is gorgeous. Fine. LA Knight honking a horn in a rich neighborhood apparently is going to get some notice. Fine. My question was, AJ Styles is 5'10". How tall is his wife?
Right?
His wife must be itty bitty. She walked out there. He dwarfs her. Like, and she's trying to drag him in the house, this little tiny woman, and he's just like, no. And you see, like, she's hella small. Judging. That's just the things that I notice.
No, because I was kind of giving you a chuckle, too. I was like, hey, listen, you know what? Power dynamics are a thing.
So, and for anyone who's dealt with cops, there's a few things that these cops do incorrectly because, you know, this is a film segment. The fact that they let AJ get that close and shove LA Knight back into the hood of the car, that'll get you fired if you're a cop, or at least some sort of reprimand by not stabilizing the other party. There's some funny things here that I buy. There's some that I don't. We just talked about another promotion where, you know, we saw a murder on... We basically saw what should have been a murder, but it wasn't because we're in wrestling land. Or, you know, like the time Austin threw The Rock off a bridge back in 1999, and like, that's a murder. We just saw a murder happen. LA Knight kind of just standing out there, honking a horn, and then picking a fight in a front lawn. I think LA Knight's cooler than that. Like, kick a door in, like, get, like, do a little more. Maybe they just had a smaller amount of time for the package. I just wanted to see LA Knight be a little more street savvy than just, I'm just going to honk my horn in a rich neighborhood. It's also kind of funny that AJ Styles reacts that way to a horn going off in his neighborhood. Like, I'm going to go fight someone. Who's honking that horn? So,
instead of honking a horn, what I would have loved to see is like LA Knight just do, you know, the 80s cliche, just have a speaker outside the window, but have it playing like a recording of his voice is like, yeah.
Have his music going, just standing there. That would have been really funny.
Like, hi, AJ, I'm coming in. Kick the door open and fight.
Kick the door in. I mean, I don't think we need to go full home invasion like we did with the Mysterios and whatnot, but.
Or Triple H and Randy Orton, remember that?
Sure. Wow, you're right. Yeah.
And then in another company, the one that takes the case that happened recently, it was Swerve Strickland, like, choking hazard.
Yeah, Swerve just murdering a family in a garage. Yeah, I don't... Sometimes these work, sometimes these don't. This one was so close to being right on it. They even had the body cam footage. They even had that old cops feel to it. I think that was okay.
They had the dash cam inside after LA Knight gets arrested and the way they buckled him. I was like, LA Knight is like bulging out of the seatbelt.
That like, was cool. Like that was worked hilarious. For me. Not that I've had those feelings.
That's the after hours.
It's just funny to watch that and be like, you know, there's elements of it that are almost action hero movie. Like they did a really good job. And I'm not going to nitpick this thing to death because I could.
This is one of the better ones for sure.
Yes. And I feel like you, JVL, and I need to do just a promo fest where we just break these down like movies and rate them and everything else someday. This one was fun. I think it was a little... I wish that this one had time to breathe a little. I wish there was a little more angst on LA Knight's side. Like, hey, I showed up to your house. I'm just honking a horn in the street. Like, I wanted a little more, but... It's fun. I thought it was fun.
It was fun. And LA Knight cracked me up when he was in the car. He was like, hey, boys, I respect you. But it was like, I don't know what they're paying you, but they need to pay you more because if AJ doesn't show up next week, I'm going to be back. I'm just letting you know right now.
It's a good line. No, it's a good line.
And then Corey ends the segment by saying is that AJ Styles did not press charges. So LA Knight was let go a couple hours later. I was like, AJ, if you have been the AJ Styles. This was the one moment for you to solidify yourself as the king of pettiness. You literally flew yourself 30 hours to cost LA Knight a main match at WrestleMania, hitting him with the chair in the Elimination Chamber. And you could have just kept him in jail for the next 2 weeks before WrestleMania. You chose not to press charges. You are no longer the king of petty.
And didn't he run
embrace
up
the pettiness?
He ran down to the sidewalk yelling, I want him in jail. Put him in jail. Like,
and then
okay.
He decided not to press charges. I was like, what is this?
Well, because, you know, the storyline stops. So now we're going to have, I wonder if we're going to do it the same thing next week. If it's going to be the same thing on SmackDown. There's a horn honking and then he's on his property again and he gets arrested again.
That'd be hilarious.
If but... LA Knight misses SmackDown because he's in the clink, that's hysterical to me. I think that's really funny.
Somehow he finds a camera, cuts a promo behind bars. That'd be hilarious.
Can we? Oh, is this heel turn LA Knight? I was in prison.
See, this is what I wish we got, but ooh. I think LA and AJ will be in person in the ring because AJ dropped charges, so they let LA Knight go from, you know, being arrested. But I was like, we could have doubled down on this. We could have had LA Knight cut promos from jail.
Oh,
or,
man. That could be.
Yeah, so I thought this was fun. This was camp. This was hilarious.
Yeah. No, it's fun. And it's funny. And I'm poking holes in it because I see the holes in it. But it's fun. If I was
one of the better ones to poke holes through.
If I was 10 years old, LA Knight would be my hero right now. Like, he could rest.
I mean, technically, he still is mine right now because I was like, this is stupid, but I love it.
We're all kind of stands for LA Knight. We can't get rid of that.
For sure. So then we get into our final match of the evening. This is the second qualifier for the six-pack ladder match. The Street Profits, a.k.a. the Soup Profits, take on AOP, the Authors of Pain. So, okay, my favorite move is when Montez jumps over, AOP catches him. They didn't catch the bleep in time because Montez is like, oh, ish. And then they powerbomb him into Angelo and they both go down.
What's great is I don't think Montez knew Angelo was behind him.
I think Angelo ran really quickly.
So
like,
Angelo
oh, hold
got
up,
there to get
go
into position and Montez is... he's getting ready like, oh, I'm going straight to the ground, and then hits Dan.
He got Angelo caught him.
They were swearing a fool on here. They were trying to bleep it and catch it. Montez did not give a damn. Montez was doing the Italian thing. He was saying all the words coming down to the ring, so I don't know what was under his collar, but he was hot. He was angry, and at the end of this match he's grabbing the camera, yelling at the camera. So something's going on there.
I want to see this Montez more now. I was like, let him be crazy.
I was a little thrown by D'Angelo's ring gear. Like, he sort of looked like
it was weird.
Somewhere between a pimp and a 70s magician at a birthday party. Like, he was right in between the two. Like, man, I'm gonna go get my money. There's a rabbit in my hat. Like, he wasn't quite. I don't know. I wasn't sure how comfortable he was in that ring gear, but he held his own with those two very, very large slabs of man meat. My God, those boys are huge.
Yeah, AOP are very big boys, and it's still insane of like how big they are when they walk side by side with Paul Ellering next.
Oh yeah. And Paul Ellering's not itty bitty. Like, he's still probably 6 feet tall.
But AOP, yeah. Those boys are big.
Those boys are massive. Great match though. I thought this was actually a lot of fun. I've been saying that a lot for this SmackDown. It's fun. It was fun. Cause it was fun. I didn't take this SmackDown too seriously. I didn't get bogged down by the soap opera stuff. But we'll talk about the crux of that in a second. Montez goes for the jumping tag, even though he's a foot away. He literally reach out and touch his hand, but chooses not to. He jumps 8 feet in the air and then makes the tag. Cause it's beautiful. They all worked well together. There were no real miscues here. You're right. That cool part of the match was catching Montez out of the ring and tossing him. D'Angelo just does some incredible feats of strength and gymnastic athleticism things that I'm still confused how he does that. For a man his size to do that is just remarkable to me. So, and they're not Suit Profits right now. They're Street Profits now. But Bobby Lashley is still there, but they're wearing this gear, not other. So I'm a little, I don't know where we're going. Not that that matters. That's just kind of nitpicky, I guess. But right. The fact that D'Angelo got that big boy up on his shoulders, even though they didn't land it, was remarkable. So this was fun.
It is. And I mean, the Street Profits with the roll-up for the win. So yeah. Next week, because we're at their bumper. So the matches we're getting next week, Bianca is going to be taking on Dakota Kai, which actually should be a pretty fun match. And then we're getting our finals to see which two teams are going to the six-pack ladder match. So it's going to be the Street Profits and Austin Theory and Grace versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And then the match I'm actually looking forward to is Legado del Fantasma taking on New Catch Republic, which is Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. I think those matches, hopefully, are given some time, are going to be some fun. And then potentially an AJ Styles, LA Knight-like promo thing, which I'm excited for, because I just want LA to be like, we're not going to talk, and just beats him up.
So who do you think this is? Is this going to be New Catch Republic Street Profits? Or is this going to be Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, New Catch Republic? Or do you think
Phantasma
gets in there? Like, I don't know.
So if I'm looking at, this is how I would book it. But again, Professor, what do you always say around
if it here? Makes sense, they're not going to do it.
I love that when I throw it to you, you immediately.
I knew exactly where we're going.
That is your catchphrase here, and I love it. We're gonna make you specifically a t-shirt for that.
Yeah.
So great. But here's how I would book it due to what we've been given so far. I think that because it's going to be Street Profits versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, I think Waller and Theory are moving on to WrestleMania because both of them have experience in ladder match, as do the Street Profits. But because we still have Final Testament looming in the background, mm-hmm. and according to reports, supposedly we might have Karrion and Bobby at WrestleMania. So I think Final Testament ruins Street Profits' chances. And also looking at the field right now that we have, pretty much all the Raw teams that qualified are faces. So, I mean, the Judgment Day are in there automatically because they're the champs, but sure. Raw had their matches, and we have New Day, Awesome Truth, and and DIY, who are all face teams.
Yeah.
And I think you need to at least have another heel team because Judgment Day is in there. I think Grayson Waller and Austin Theory beat the Street Profits due to some interference from the Final Testament, which sets up a match for Bobby and Karrion or the whole faction at WrestleMania. And then on the other side of things, I think that New Catch Republic win. They beat Legado because there's some interference from LWO. So I think which would result, hey, Dominic got involved and cost Ray his match. So to get back at Legado, Ray and LWO will interfere to have New Catch Republic win. So I'm banking on New Catch Republic and then Austin and Grayson to be our SmackDown representatives. But
who knows? That's kind of where I thought we were going, but you said it far more articulately. Woof, man, I miss New Day. I haven't gotten to watch New Day because I've been over here on SmackDown.
Oh. I mean, every once in a while, if you want to, you're more than welcome to.
I need to jump over to Raw. I just miss New Day. I just miss them so much.
They had a really fun match, but yeah. I will say, if you, I'll send you the link when we're done, but definitely my favorite match of the whole evening outside of Becky and Nia's Last Woman Standing match, which was fantastically fun. DIY and the Creed Brothers, man, that match was baller. Because that's who DIY beat to get into the ladder match, and that was a close bout.
I could pull that up.
Great.
So I know we're up against it. We're coming up at the top of the hour and we have 30 minutes of promo to talk about. Do you want to sum this up or how do we want to chop up this last 20 minutes of the SmackDown soap opera?
So let's do this. Let's summarize. We'll talk about the segment itself. Then we can go deep dive into it because I shared this with our group chat the other day. You know, Luis brought up a point in our group chat and I was like, he's not necessarily wrong, but here, because I have a problem with this match. My problem is not so much that I think Cody is boring. My problem is how we're building this, which we'll get into later. So let's just summarize this real quick and discuss what we got on our screens and then dive deep into it. So after a 15-minute entrance, just kidding.
It's close.
So Thankfully, we didn't have to wait long because after like a 5-minute entrance, Roman Reigns is in the ring. He gets the crowd to acknowledge him. And then Cody Rhodes' music hits. And then Cody comes down. And then we officially begin this promo face-to-face proper. Roman Reigns starts off by telling Cody that he's dumb because if he thinks that he can trust Seth Rollins, he has another thing coming to him. And Roman recap saying, you know what, I've known Seth just a lot longer than you have, and trust me, he will turn on you the moment he can, and that it benefits for him. And he talks about how Seth and Dean and the Shield was a family to Roman, mm-hmm. and then it broke him when Seth betrayed him, so he decided what better way to repair that than to be family with my actual blood family, and thus bloodlines here. And you know what? I can trust them, but can you trust Seth? Well, it was the whole crux of this first part of this promo. Cody comes in and he states that, yes, I can trust Seth because even though me and him have our issues, he hates you a lot more than he hates me. And he has taken blame for creating the monster that you have become because of that betrayal. So he's already living the consequences of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cody flips this and says, now Roman, let's focus on you. You say, how can I trust Cody? I could say the same thing. How can you trust The Rock? I'm like, this is the final boss. I'm like, are you aware of the betrayal that Rock has done during his career too? And what he will do to get to the head of everything? And Cody's kind of slightly over, teasing. I was like, it's going to be great if it ends up being that Cody and Rock have been working together this whole entire time.
That would be incredible, but carry on. That'd
be the biggest swerve, but who knows at this point. And so Cody basically states that to kind of finish this up, you can't necessarily trust The Rock. You say, I can't trust Seth, so we're at a standstill. But regardless, me and you have that tag team match on night one. And then we have our match main eventing night two. So regardless of what happens, I'm prepared to do whatever it takes. But I want to wish you luck. Extends his hand. Roman doesn't shake it. He leaves the ring, leaves Cody in the ring. And then the truck failed at matching the cue when Roman Thanos snapped, which then summons.
Not close.
No. Roman's music plays, which then allows Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso to come join Roman. And commentary, I didn't need them to say anything here. I was like, they kind of took me out of it a little bit. They're like, oh my gosh, Roman lied. I'm like, duh, he's the heel. I was like, do we expect Roman not to be here? What I appreciated was that Cody came in, he had Seth and Jay, and we had this weird team Captain America versus team Iron Man Civil War situation going on. But that's his whole promo. So Professor, give me your thoughts about the promo. And then we'll dive deeper into it.
Sure. A few things. I don't know how deep we need to go because we're in soap opera land, but we can. I did not hate this. Sadly, I think everyone is going to see what they want to see out of this promo. If you think Cody's boring and a politician, you kind of saw Cody boring and a politician. If you think Roman is great on the mic and you love everything Roman does, you kind of saw Roman shine a little bit here and do what Roman does well. Vice versa, if you love Cody and you think Cody's great at what Cody does, you're going to see the same thing here. So this is, I think the beauty and sort of the enigma of these promos are everyone's going to see what they want to see in them. And I don't know if that's the way they're performed or the way they're written or whatever else. They're not rocking the boat one way or another at this point. They're sort of steady going towards WrestleMania. This is the storyline. Tune in to see. I thought that Roman responded to Cody saying, I came alone because I'm a man of my honor. And Roman says, you're dumb. And I immediately went, yeah, he's not alone. Is he? He's here with other people. He kind of gave it away in that line to me. I love that Jay was there. I love that Seth was there. I kind of wanted a little more from that moment. I think it looked like the technical let him down. I think Roman was supposed to snap his fingers and it was supposed to be lights and sound and all hell was supposed to change and nothing happened. It was just the stadium lights and they all just stood there waiting. Solo and Jimmy made their cues. Like, they're walking, they're doing what they're supposed to, but the camera didn't pick them up or whatever else. So technically that kind of fell apart. I think storytelling wise, we're going the same direction. There wasn't anything that was jarring one way or another. I kind of see what Luis was here, and I wish Luis was here. I would have loved to talk to him about this. There is this sense of Cody's the boring one in this. And I could see that to a point because Cody's story got buried a year ago. And then Cody had to build momentum to get back to this point.
Yeah.
And it took
okay.
It took the Herculean task of getting the Rock in on it to make it here. Really happen again.
So, okay, now let's dive deep into this because this kind of brings up what my issue has been with this whole thing. If we take the equation whether or not, you know, Rock and Roman was the original plan or Cody versus Roman in this whole soap opera that we've gotten was the plan from the start, at this point, to me, it's mute. It doesn't matter anymore. What I'm having an issue with is, again, it's like what we talk about all the time. WWE tends to write themselves in a corner a lot of the time. And so you built up Cody as this big baby face and, you know, the WWE Universe's hero leading into his match against Roman last year. Yet Roman retained through the shenanigans. And so a lot of the fan base wants to see Cody finish his story. However, WWE felt, okay, we created magic by doing that last year. Let's have Cody be the baby face underdog. And it's not working this time around because, you know, post-Mania, you've had Cody feud with Brock Lesnar, you know, post-WrestleMania for a couple of pay-per-views. Then he was on a tag team championship run with Jay. And then he and Punk were getting into it. And then Cody won the Rumble. And we've been building up to Roman and Cody, which then got the pit stop of, you know, Cody's giving up his spot. So Rock and Roman can fight, and then backlash from the fandom happened, and then everything got pivoted or whatever. My issue with this is that having Cody being this babyface underdog does not work this time around because it's a different landscape in terms of like how we're here. Roman was more present leading into WrestleMania last year with being on TV, defending the title, and then post-WrestleMania is when he started doing the part-time schedule for whatever reason. My biggest issue is I feel that I love Cody. You can still keep him face, but I would be more enjoying this build up to this match with Roman if you had changed a little bit with Cody and have him still be the face, but give him a little more intensity and present Cody in a way where he still wants to be the good guy, but he's also not above getting his hands dirty and, you know, digging into the trenches to get what he needs done.
See?
Be a little more intense. Like when Cody cut that promo on Monday, that's the Cody I want to see. He was intense. He called Dwayne Rock Johnson, telling him he had LDS, like little, you know, D syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know, basically calling him a whiny little B, being more intense. And then this version on SmackDown was what Cody's been since he's returned. I'm like, give me this intensity. What happened to the Monday Night Raw Cody that we saw a couple days ago?
There was a wee bit of controversy on the internet. I don't know if you caught this. Cody Rhodes shared on his Instagram story a clip of him in the all black American Nightmare gear. And it lasted seconds. It wasn't very long. Apparently it was 20, 30 seconds. And then he took it down. But it was just long enough for folks to screenshot it and send it to WWE Reddit and everywhere else and all those other places on the internet, and then it still got picked up and caught. That was just enough of a hint to me to be like, are we gonna see that version of American Nightmare?
We're gonna see Homelander Cody Rhodes.
Are we
from the boys? I mean,
does he come out with black hair, black gear, American Nightmare crazy stuff, and just comes out a little more violent, a little more, as you said, aggressive, maybe cheats just a little bit, maybe does some of the things that his dad would have done.
Yeah.
Right.
What I think would be perfect is have Seth and Cody lose night one and then have a segment, whether it be on the socials or whatever, where Cody's like, okay, I underestimated and, you know, nice guys aren't going to finish last in this story. And then just out of nowhere, night two, we see the true American Nightmare version Like, for all my gamers out there, Cody Rhodes comes out as like the nobody version of himself. Like, just in a black cloak and everything.
He just starts mauling people on night two.
Exactly.
That could be interesting. I don't know. I think they got to do something with Cody.
Because I just want more intensity from him.
Now it's getting stagnant. And I think that's more of what I think Luis might be speaking to. I think, I don't know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but this sort of this, yeah, it's sort of like the politician thing is coming back up, where Cody Rhodes said he would run for politics in Georgia someday. Now that's being created, so now people are leaning on that too, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of poisoning the well there. So this is, again, WWE not pulling the trigger when they should have. If they'd done this a year ago, we could have had a year of, could you imagine if Cody beats Roman and now The Rock shows up?
You're right.
Like, oh my God, we could go all over the map by now, but you stayed on this train, and now you're gonna deal with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's been my biggest issue. It's not the same story, and WWE, like, chose the wrong path, but you've got 2 weeks, so I still think the matches are gonna be fantastic. I'm gonna enjoy them. I'm just hoping that in the next 2 weeks, you give me something that I'm gonna, when we review the night, both nights of WrestleMania, I want to be able to say it's like the build leading up to this point and then it got nuts has been great, yeah. Versus what we always say is like the match was fantastic, the build up was
So which night is the good night?
I don't know, because we don't know which matches are going to go on which night.
Well, I'm yet. Just
we know the tag team match is night one and then the main event is night two. I'm going to make an early prediction. I'm going to give it to night one, because the last 2-3 WrestleManias that we've had this night, night one tends to always be my favorite. With the only exception being that night two of 37 when they were in Dallas. No, 38 when they were in Dallas was great, because we got my favorite match of all time. Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn. That was the best match. I don't care what nobody says.
That's when I came back to wrestling, was then. Fantastic. That's when I started was watching games. Like, oh, yeah, it was great. This is fun. Yeah.
So, Professor, now we got to rate this thing.
Oh, man.
What
this
did we
is
give
hard.
This week's SmackDown?
So, I think this deserves more. I'm getting used to the gear shift of SmackDown compared to other promotions, right? If you look at this as a soap opera, it's a soap opera. It's a soap opera. This is an 8.5 out of 10 soap opera. As SmackDown, this is a wrestling show. There's wrestling here, by the way. There's wrestling to be had. It's probably about the same for me. 8.5, somewhere in there. It kept my interest. I was still watching. I didn't check out. Sometimes I watched this over the course of 2 or 3 days. I sat down in one sitting because I was genuinely interested in what was going on. I thought the tag matches were on point. They were great. I'm glad Ray didn't kill himself. That's what I was really nervous of in watching that match. Naomi's entrance and that match itself was a lot of fun. I like where we're going with Bayley. The promo at the end sort of we sort of let our feet off the gas and pumped the brakes the whole way to the end, which was kind of sad, but fine. Yeah, not to talk it to death. We already settled this. Yeah, so I'm in that range.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I give this an 8 and 8.5 this week. There was a lot of good wrestling. I liked what we've got with our women's storyline. The segment could have been a little bit better with Cody and Roman, but it ended up being a little bit better than I thought. And so hopefully next 2 weeks we could just, on SmackDown, focus on those two. Because right. Now that we've established the tag team match, it's like, oh yeah, we have another match on night two. So let's try to get, let's drum up interest with that one.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Professor. We did it. We survived. Hoy,
we got through the SmackDown. We did it.
We did it. So just for those of you that are watching, just to give you a heads up, we will be back next week for another SmackDown. But then the following week, a majority of our shows are going to be going dark because we are going into WrestleMania weekend. And as the boss, I have decided that those weekly shows will be going dark for a week and all 9 of us are going to be divvying up the responsibilities for WrestleMania weekend, which includes Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, NXT Stand and Deliver, and both nights of WrestleMania.
Woof.
It's going to be crazy.
So much stuff to talk about. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. But me and the professor are going to get up on out of here. So from us here at Friday Night Faction to all of you watching, remember, take care of yourselves, love one another, stay Biconic, and more importantly, everyone deserves to finish their story. We will see you next week for another Friday Night Faction review. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.